you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. Generous people will be blessed. Proverbs 22, verse 9. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 25th, 2025. Hi, listening friend, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. I'm glad you joined us for what I believe will be a deep, meaningful broadcast. Yesterday, we kicked off a powerful two-part message from Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church titled, Daring to be Generous. It's part of his multiple-week series, Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles. In part one of Daring to be Generous, Pastor Rick outlined six incredible benefits of generosity. We heard how generosity honors God, draws us closer to him, and helps defeat materialism in our lives. He also reminded us that generosity strengthens our faith, is an eternal investment, and brings joy to others. If you missed it, you can still catch it online at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But today, friend, we go even deeper. Pastor Rick returns to share six more compelling reasons why generosity isn't just a good idea, it's part of God's design for a full and fruitful life. These next six truths will challenge, stretch, and encourage you. We'll learn how generosity creates community, because giving connects hearts in ways nothing else can. We'll hear how it reveals spiritual maturity, shows gratitude for all God has done, and stretches our faith in new ways. Pastor Rick also shows how generosity blesses us in return and even shows the world what God is like. What a calling! So, wherever you are right now, on your morning commute, having your quiet time, or wrapping up a busy day, let these truths take root. Generosity isn't about what you have in your wallet, it's about what you carry in your heart. Let's listen together and dare to live generously. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, and we're picking up right where we left off yesterday.
Look at this next verse. Jesus Christ said it. If you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, you don't manage your money well, you're not generous with it. If you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And the answer is nobody. God won't. Your responsibility and rewards in heaven are going to be built on how you handled what God gave you right now. What did you do with what you were given? All right, let's look at some promises. Number seven, giving. Our generosity brings God's blessing. I could give you 100 verses on this in the Bible. Generosity brings God's blessing. If you want God's blessing on your life, you must learn to not be a miser. You must learn to not be stingy. You must learn to be open-handed with what God has given you, helping other people with everything you've got. And the more you give away your time, your talent, your treasure, the more God will give you. Giving brings God's blessing. Look at these verses. Proverbs 22:9, generous people will be blessed. Now, you either believe that or you don't, but God said it, and it's true. Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously. Then, because of this, God will bless you in all your work. You want God to bless all your work? And in everything you put your hand to. You want God to bless everything you put your hand to? There's the answer right there. Give generously. That's one of those 7,000 promises. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. God loves the one who gives gladly, and God will make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. It brings God's blessing. Number eight, generosity increases my happiness. Generosity increases my happiness. Now, everybody knows this, that generosity increases your happiness. The only people who don't know it are people who aren't generous. Jesus said it like this in Acts 20, there's more happiness in giving than in receiving. Now, I will admit to you, when I was a child at Christmas, it wasn't all about what I bought everybody else. When I was a child, it was all about what I got. And as a child, all my joy came from the presents I got, not from the presents I gave to other people. But that was a long time ago. I was immature and I was self-centered. Today, I'm a grandfather. Today at Christmas, it's not about the presents I get. My joy comes from watching other people unwrap the gifts that I've given to them. Why? Because I grew up. I stopped being self-centered. It stopped being about me. That's called maturity. Unfortunately, some people never grow up. And at 80 years old, it's still all about them. What am I getting out of this? And they've never learned the joy of generosity. Generosity increases my happiness. Number nine, generosity, this will blow your mind. Generosity expands my influence. The more generous you become, the more influential you will become. Influence comes not from what you get in life. Influence comes from what you give away in life. And the more you give away, the more influential you'll be. Now, there's a difference between being famous and being influential. There are a lot of people who are famous who have no influence. There are a lot of selfish people who are famous but don't have real influence. When you want to help other people, influence comes from generosity. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Psalm 112 says this, verse 9. Those who give generously to those in need, you're helping the poor, you're helping the unfortunate, will never be forgotten. You want a legacy? Help the poor. Will never be forgotten. They will have influence and honor. I have found this one to be true in my own personal life. That the more generous I became, the more influential I became. You know my story. 40 years ago when Kay and I got married, we started tithing our income, 10%. At the end of our first year of marriage, we raised our giving to the Lord and to charity to 11%. In the second year, we raised it to 12%. Third year, we raised it 3%. And fourth year, we keep adding. And even in tough times, we would always raise our giving a little bit. Why? Because I wanted my heart to grow bigger every year. I wanted to be more like Jesus. I wanted to be godly. I wanted to be like God. I wanted to be holy. Now, we weren't doing this to show off because, as you know, I didn't tell anybody about this for over 25 years. We just quietly did it, raising our giving from 20% to 30% to 40% to 50% to 60% to 70%. And most of you know that for the last 10 years, Kay and I have given away 91% of our income, and we live on 9%. Now, we do that because you cannot outgive God. And God says, you give to me, and I will give to you. And you know what I've learned? Is that while my giving went up, so did my influence. Last week when I was testifying at the at D.C., at the Congress, I was testifying before Senate. One of the guys took me aside, Senator, and he asked me a question. He says, you know, Rick, I know this thing about purpose-driven life. It sold a gazillion copies, best-selling book in the world, for 4 years. It was the best. It's the best-selling nonfiction book in American history. It's in 137 languages. It's in Guinness. It's the most translated book in the world, except for the Bible. It has 2 Guinness records. And he goes, why do you think God chose you to write the best-selling nonfiction hardback in all time? I said, oh, I know why. I know why. He said, why? I said, because God knew he could trust me with the money. God knew that I would not spend it on myself. I wouldn't go buy a bigger house. I wouldn't go buy a bigger car. I wear a watch from Walmart. You know, I drive a 15-year-old Ford truck. God knew I wouldn't spend the money on myself. I would use it to help more other people. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, shoot, if I wrote a gazillion seller, I'd give away millions too. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. I guarantee you wouldn't. Why? Because you're not being generous right now. And I was generous when we were out of work. And I was generous when I had no money. And I was generous when the cupboard was bare. And I was generous when Kay was holding the job and I was trying to put me through school. And I had a 40-year track record of being generous. And God knew he could trust me. And with that generosity came additional influence. Number 10, generosity, this is a big one. Generosity multiplies my money. This is a big one, and I can give you a lot of verses on this. Generosity actually multiplies my money. God has worked out the universe in such a way that when I give God 10% of my income, that's called tithing, that he makes the 90% go further than if I had 100% on my own. The Bible says this, Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. You want to prosper? There it is. A generous man will prosper. That's God talking. And he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, you will be enriched. Circle that word. That means you're going to have more than you have right now. You will be enriched so that you can be a fat cat and spend it all on yourself. No, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. God multiplies your money. You play this game. God says, you give to me and I'll give to you, and you give to others and I'll give to you, and we'll see who wins. You're never going to win the generosity game. I can tell you that. Generosity multiplies my money. Number 11, generosity brings God's protection. A lot of people don't know this one, that it actually brings God's protection on your family, on your business, on your own life. Psalm 112, verse 5 and 6 says this, all goes well for the generous man who conducts his business fairly. There's two of those things, integrity and generosity right there. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. Now notice it doesn't say you don't have evil circumstances, it says you're not overthrown by them. Everybody has tough times. Everybody goes through problems. There's no guarantee of a problem for your life. You're going to have evil circumstances in your life, but when you're generous, God says, I will make sure you're not blown away by them. You're not overthrown by the evil circumstances that happen in your life. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. They say, look at that guy. He's blessed even in tough times. God is blessing him even when things are going wrong in his life and all around him. Generosity brings God's protection. And then number 12, generosity will be rewarded in heaven. It will be rewarded in heaven. The Bible says this, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. Use your money to do good. Now, I want you to circle the word use. Money is to be used. It is not to be loved, it is to be used. You use money, you love people. If you start loving money, you're going to use people. Money is a tool. You might write that down. Money is neither good nor bad. It's just neutral. You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. There's nothing evil about money. It's just neutral. It can be used in really good ways. It can be used in really bad ways. People say, doesn't the Bible say money is the root of all evil? No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. You're to love people and use money, not reverse. So he says, use your money to do good, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourself in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. And they, that's us, you will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Now, you can't take it with you. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. How do you do that? Four times in Scripture, Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven. How do you do that? How do you bank in heaven? By investing in people who are going there. That's how you do it. By investing in what we're doing in Daring Faith, getting people into heaven, getting them strong, getting them growing. He said, that's investing in heaven. He said, what you send on ahead, you're going to be able to enjoy the treasures in heaven for yourself. One of the most important things that Jesus said is this next verse, Luke 16, verse 9. I tell you, this is Jesus talking, I tell you, use your worldly wealth, your worldly resources, that's your money, to benefit others, not yourself, others, and make friends. So what do you mean by that? I'll come back to that. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. What does it mean to use my worldly resources to benefit others and make friends? He's not saying go out and buy a bunch of friends. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this. Take some of your money and use it to build bridges of friendship to bring people to Jesus Christ who are then going to be saved and they're going to go to heaven with you. And when you get to heaven, then there will be people in heaven who greet you and say, hey, you're here. Thank God for all you did. You gave some money that brought me to Jesus Christ. I'm in heaven because of you. I'm your friend forever. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of the way you use your money? I'm going to have tens of thousands of friends in heaven because of the way I've used my money. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of the way you used your money? Are you going to have any friends up there because people say, thank you, I'm here because of you. You bought a Bible, you sponsored a project, you built a church, you helped the program, you did other things, and through that, I came to know the Lord. I'm here because of you. I'm your friend forever. That is what it means to be rewarded in heaven, and those rewards you're going to have forever. Everything I spend on myself on earth, I'm losing. Everything I invest in others and in God's work, I'm going to gain again in heaven. Where do I want to keep my greatest wealth? Here, where I get to use it for 80 years, or in heaven, where I get to use it for trillions of years in eternity? It's a no-brainer. Generosity will be rewarded in heaven. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for the gifts that have just been given, and I know what you're going to do in people's lives, and I thank you for that. And Father, maybe even there are people here today who didn't participate, but you're going to put it on their heart this week saying, I do not want to miss out on the miracles in my own life, on making a part of history, of being part of something bigger than myself. Help them to get over their fear, their anxiety, or their unwillingness to trust you. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. What a message and what a Savior. Today we wrapped up part two of Pastor Rick Warren's Daring to Be Generous, covering points 7 through 12. And listening friend, these truths are worth taking with you wherever you go. We heard how generosity creates community. It's one of the most powerful ways to bind people together, whether in a family, a church, or even a neighborhood. We also learned that generosity reveals our spiritual maturity. It's not just about giving money. It's about trusting God and letting go of control. Pastor Rick reminded us that when we give, we're saying, Lord, I trust you more than I trust my stuff. That's faith in action. And that kind of faith stretches us. It keeps us growing. It shows our gratitude. It opens up blessings we didn't even expect. And maybe the most powerful point of all, generosity shows what God is like. When we give, we reflect his heart. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Friend, our giving is a testimony. It is a living sermon to a watching world. So what can we do with all of this? Let's start small, but let's start intentionally. Ask the Lord, where can I be more generous today? Maybe it's your time, maybe it's your talent, maybe it's an encouraging word, or yes, even your treasure. If today's message blessed you, or you want to revisit part one, just head over to greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab. And don't forget, this program airs each day, Monday through Friday, at 7:32 a.m. and a 7:32 p.m. Central Time, and 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listener. Join us again tomorrow as Donna Leland will have a special interview and encouraging thoughts for you. So keep daring to live generously and keep pointing to the one who gave it all. An FYI, I think today or tomorrow we'll be closing on WDKR 107.3 FM, so we're working busy behind the scenes to try to get that new station on the air in the next month or so. So we appreciate your prayers and how many of you have responded to our recent newsletter. Support continues to come in, some of you giving special one-time gifts, others of you increasing your monthly donation to help with operation costs, and others of you felt led to just give a special gift. We appreciate it all as it adds up and it allows us to pay for these two frequencies. We also have an updated program guide highlighting our 21 frequencies in our three different formats. So as you drive to and fro or in a variety of communities, you can get one or two or all three of the different formats. You'll want to request your new updated program guide if you're not on the mailing list. In East Central Illinois or West Central Indiana, call 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. For our WLUJ family of stations in Central Illinois, West Central Illinois, and Southeast Iowa, dial 217-528-2300. That's 217-528-2300. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.